Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thankfully, you're with us after a Thanksgiving weekend. And remember, you can always watch the show as well. We've got the Watch DA simulcast going on right now. So check it out on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, PC, even smart TV. Dial us up at watchda.com. Coaching carousel in college. You've got the Greg Schiano story. Last night, Tennessee had an agreement in place for Schiano to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers football program. Schiano, best known for making Rutgers into something out of nothing, and then also being run out of Tampa Bay because the Buccaneers players hated his guts, and he didn't win many football games. Schiano also most memorably coached his defensive line to push through the Giants' offensive line and come after Eli Manning on a kneel at the end of the game, which got Tom Coughlin hot and bothered. Remember that?
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Vols fans rose up, cited his connection in hearsay to Penn State's scandal, with the testimony that was opened up because of the civil case last year. It was found out that under the deposition, Mike McQuery, the whistleblower, had said he had heard from another coach, Tom Bradley, that Greg Schiano had known about Sandusky back in the early 90s, which, look, if that's true, it's awful and disgusting, and everything that happened at Penn State is gross and terrible. But it's also hearsay and probably not the reason to go crazy on a guy, considering he has denied it, Bradley has denied it, and with the full-on investigation, they never investigated that part of things, so presumably they didn't feel like there was a lot of meat there on the bone in terms of investigating what role Schiano had in this. Either way, Vols fans spoke, and they didn't want Greg Schiano. I don't think it's that big of a loss. I think they can get a guy like Schiano that doesn't bring nearly the baggage, and so this isn't about Tennessee lost a great football coach. I'm just worried that you have an athletic director in Curry who makes a hire and has so little conviction in it, can go 180 on the same day and have no idea that his fan base feels this way. So right now, coaching carousel, Tennessee, a loser. Unless they hit this thing out of the park with their second hire, which I got to doubt because this must scare away at least some coaches or some agents with coaches going, you don't want to go there. They could have you hired and fired the same day. So Tennessee right now is a loser, and it's too bad because that fan base is amazing, and they want the Vols to be so good in such a bad way, and it's been frustrating for so many years, and it's one of the great college football venues and campuses that we have, but it's got to be very alarming for potential coaches to go, oh boy, what am I getting into there? Big winner? UCLA. I mean, Chip Kelly immediately makes the Bruins interesting. Overnight makes them sizzle. Overnight makes them matter. UCLA didn't matter. In the Pac-12, it's hard enough to get the East Coast to worry about you when you're playing in the middle of the night and the Deep South cares about the SEC. It's hard enough to get people to pay attention to Pac-12 football. The only thing that matters right now has been USC, and it was Oregon when Oregon mattered and we're cool and we're dynamic and wearing funky jerseys. Washington started to matter, but this year lost that momentum. Mike Leach is quirky and funny. But it's hard because they don't have, I mean, Stanford's been a great story, but they don't have that year-in, year-out powerhouse outside of USC. And look, USC has taken on water in recent years with Lane Kiffin and the rest of the stuff. Pac-12, huge winner. UCLA, huge winner. Chip Kelly immediately makes them interesting and I think makes them very good and very dangerous. And I think it's a great fit for him. He doesn't have to deal with the fishbowl that is the SEC in small college towns like Gainesville. The expectation in Gainesville would be you got to win the SEC. You got to be in the college football playoff. I think UCLA gives him a little bit more leniency, more leash. He lives in a big town. He's not a public speaking circuit kind of guy. He's not a guy that's going to slap you in the back and tell you stories about how the way it used to be. He ain't Mac Brown. Mac Brown's great in small college towns. Chip Kelly, not great. And so going to LA where they're like the third most important football team in town right now. I mean, it's USC 1, and I'm going to say the Rams 2, just because at least the Rams are really good, although judging from the attendance yesterday, it doesn't look like many people care in LA about the Rams. So it works for Chip. I think Texas A&M is in a tough spot right now, making a risky decision. I know there's frustration with Kevin Sumlin. I know it. And if you get Jimbo Fisher, okay, all is forgiven. But if you can't pry Jimbo Fisher away, what's the next step for Texas A&M? Because now Chip Kelly's gone. I don't think Scott Frost is going there. Dan Mullen's gone. Who are you going to go out and get in a year where there doesn't feel like there's a lot of great coaching candidates? Jimbo Fisher has won a national championship. Jimbo Fisher is 83-23, 60 games over 500. That's a lot better than Kevin Sumlin, who's 40 games over 500 in his career. 30 of those games over 500 with A&M. But he was also winning 8 games basically every season, and this year won 7 when we kind of knew they were going to take a step back unless a miracle happened, and they could still get that 8th win with a bowl game. I'm not saying Kevin Sumlin's great, but I am saying that I think Kevin Sumlin, it's a little careful what you wish for. Very good recruiter, lost a lot of bad games in November, usually collapsed at the end of the season, but is the next guy going to walk into Texas A&M and win more than 8 games a season? I want to see it. I got to see it to believe it. I think Mississippi State, big loser, Dan Mullen, one of the best hires you'll ever have at that school. Losing him to Florida, big win for the Gators. Big win. I mean, to me, that is such a safe but slam dunk hire. Big win. Dan Mullen's done more with less at Mississippi State. And going to Florida, where your resources are better, deeper pockets, more talent to recruit in your area, huge win. Your only problem right now at Florida is it looks like Georgia is a beast to come for years to come of the East, and Miami's on the rise, and Florida State just won a national championship a couple of years ago. So recruiting, it's not like you can walk into any town in Florida and say, hey, we're the Gators. But that's a nice hire for the Florida Gators. for Nebraska, if they get Scott Frost, God bless him, because Scott Frost has done wonders at UCF. But you got to get him. And I realize it was time for Mike Riley to go. I get it. At Arkansas, the Brett Bielema. I mean, it's one of those things where you better have a better solution. And that's the thing about Tennessee. What's the solution? We can all agree Butch Jones ran out of room, ran out of rope. But what's your solution? Was it Greg Schiano and then, oh, I don't know. Because then that's not a solution. It has been brought to my attention that Boogie Oogie Oogie, as Mraz cited the Electric Slide, is actually in the Electric Slide song.
Yeah, you can do it. It's electric. Boogie Oogie Oogie Oogie.
And I was thinking about the disco song. Get down. Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Get on the floor. Cause we're gonna boogie Oogie Oogie. Cause you just can't boogie no more.
So I guess we have two songs, Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Everybody was Boogie Oogie and Oogie, and I bet you there could be more Boogie Oogie Oogies, you know?
I don't know.
You think that's it, too? Who had it first, though? What came out first, that or the Electric Slide? I don't even know the name of that song.
I'm pretty sure Boogie Oogie Oogie's got to be first, right? Because that was in the 70s. The Electric Slide has got to be from the 80s or something.
But is that actually the name of the song, is Boogie Oogie Oogie?
It is.
It's the name of the song.
The band called A Taste of Honey wrote Boogie Oogie Oogie.
A Taste of Honey.
Taste of Honey. One hit wonder?
Boogie Oogie Oogie. And so Electric Slide, yeah. When did that come out?
Electric Slide, I bet you was 63, something like that.
No, 63. No way.
Well, I had to be doing the Electric Slide. Now, what, it just appeared at a communion in 93?
That's an 80s thing. The Electric Slide is an 80s thing, yeah.
When did group dancing become a thing?
I guess line dancing's always been a thing.
Right, but now we got a lot of these. You got the Electric, the Cha-Cha, the YMCA, the Macarena.
Macarena.
Macarena was a biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always grew up with, like, this was a thing, and I just assumed it was forever, so I thought the Electric Slide dated back to the 60s.
No, I think the Electric Slide, we have to double-check on this. Let's listen to a little Electric Slide here. The Electric Slide created the dance created by choreographer Richard Rick Silver in 1976. So about the same time.
Whoa!
About the same time. So
and the Eagles are choreographing this dance, not the original Boogie Oogie Oogie.
So what is the tiebreaker there? We're going to figure this out. What came first, the Electric Slide or Boogie Oogie Oogie?
I would say the Electric Slide's more famous, too.
Yeah, I would say so. It doesn't give the Eagles carte blanche, though, or free reign. I mean, that was still pretty corny.
It was very corny. All of their touchdown celebrations have been corny.
What haven't been corny? Has there been a non-corny one?
I guess Duck Duck Deuce wasn't corny, but now in hindsight, when you look back at how corny and ridiculous all these are, they've gotten it. Like, I don't need another fastball thrown to Alshon Jeffrey, fake fastball, and he fakes hits a home run. Like,
right.
That's stupid.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, give me Joe Horn answering a phone that's hidden underneath the goalpost. Like, that was cool.
But at the time, did you like the Joe Horn goalpost?
Well, because it was against the Giants, I didn't. But other than that, I probably would have. Uh-huh. Like, Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens, I can't believe I just called a grown man Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
Those were cool. We're not getting those anymore. We're getting stupid group ones.
Yeah, but I think that Ocho Cinco stopped being cool, too. I think when he was...
He did, but he had a longer shelf life than 12 weeks of this.
The river dancing. It was, yeah, longer shelf life. Yeah. The Hall of Fame jacket got too much. That got corny as well.
I'm watching Red Zone. I've just had it.
Shane tweets, I can't get enough of the TD celebrations, but I only watch one or two games a week. It's all about moderation. Mikey Mike tweets, let them celebrate, but if it's a crummy celebration, flag them. Hashtag 15 yards for lack of creativity. When we come back, can the Steelers beat the Patriots next week or in a playoff game after what you've seen? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Lining up for his NFL long of 53 yards to win it. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way for Boswell. It is up, and it is good! The Pittsburgh Steelers win it! 31-28. Chris Boswell delivers.
We persevered in the face of adversity. We made necessary plays. We overcame adversity. Big plays by them, turnovers by us, and all of those things. We didn't blink. We stayed together and made the necessary plays to win.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood One on the call. That was Mike Tomlin after the win last night in dramatic fashion. Game-winning field goal at the buzzer for the Steelers, and they knock off the Packers last night at Heinz Field. Welcome back. Remember that the best of the show is available in video form on YouTube. Watch the best clips of every day's show from the simulcast on YouTube. Simply search CBS Sports Radio when you go to YouTube, and you'll see our channel there. By the way, more nuggets on the electric slide. Bilotti and I were actually right. Now, we didn't know it was created so long ago. It was created as a dance in 1976, but it went viral with an 18-step variation in 1989 and was listed by Line Dancer magazine as the number one dance of the world. So really, the popularity took off in 1989. That sounds more right than the 70s.
Yeah, no one was going to discotheques in the 70s to do the electric slide.
That's exactly right. I kind of like the Eagles doing it yesterday because it felt less choreographed, but I feel like all of their dances are choreographed, and now it makes me feel as though the Philadelphia Eagles are this year's Panthers from 2 years ago that dabbed all over the place and danced the sideline. The team that was not used to winning, the team that had just kind of fallen into being the power team of the NFC, blowing out foes, and then dancing and celebrating on the sideline, which I don't have a problem with, man. If you're really good, you can dance, but you better finish. You better win the Super Bowl at this point, because there's been a lot of dancing for the Eagles. But look, they're legit, and Carson Wentz is more and more legit every single week. It is becoming apparent that guy is a superstar in the making or already one. One of the two. He is going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL for the next 10 years. Make it certain. Write it down. Know this. The Eagles have a franchise quarterback, one of the top five QBs in football for the next 10 years, and there's nothing you can do about it. Wentz is that good. Pittsburgh Steelers have had a top five quarterback in the league for 10 years. His name is Ben Roethlisberger, and they're the only real threat in the AFC to the New England Patriots. The only real threat is the Steelers. Look, the Chiefs can't beat the Patriots. It's not happening, especially with how garbage Alex Smith is playing right now. The Chargers are not going to go to Foxborough and win. The Jaguars are not going to go to Foxborough and win. The Colts are not going to go to Foxborough and win. The Ravens aren't going to go to Foxborough and win. The history would say the Baltimore Ravens could. They're not nearly as good as those old Ravens teams were, although the Baltimore defense is very good. They're just not balanced enough to be able to pull that off. The Steelers are the only team that could do it. But the Steelers play down to their competition, and the Steelers nearly kicked away a golden opportunity to have home field advantage come through Heinz Field last night in nearly losing to the Packers, who, of course, without Aaron Rodgers, have been taking on a lot of water. Now, last night, what you see from the Steelers is, man, their superstars are as good as anybody's superstars. Brandon Cooks has been a really nice addition for the Patriots. Gronk is obviously a great tight end, but the Patriots don't have anybody. Amendola, even when Edelman was healthy, that does what Antonio Bryant does. Antonio Bryant's toe-tip catch last night, setting up the game-winning field goal, and so many other throws. I mean, he is remarkable. Le'Veon Bell, remarkable. 95 yards last night. And Ben Roethlisberger, 351 yards and four scores. The Steelers' offense still has the pieces to be able to match up against anybody. The problem is that secondary looks very leaky, especially after the injury to Joe Hayden. And I'm not convinced that the Steelers with that secondary will be able to slow down Tom Brady enough to get a W. This is a great test, and this one is going to be in Pittsburgh, and this could decide home field advantage in the playoffs. And you would much rather have the Patriots coming through your house than having to do it and going to theirs. And so when the Steelers play the Patriots in a couple of weeks at home at Heinz Field, that really could very well decide home field. You just can't punt it away before then. It's one thing to lose to the Patriots, and thus you've got to go through Foxborough. But don't punt away that opportunity beforehand. You've got the Bengals and the Ravens before that. You've got to take care of business there. After that, the Texans and Browns. There's no reason the Steelers should not run the table outside of a game against the Patriots. Can the Steelers beat the Pats? Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. But it's going to take one of those days where the Steelers don't fall asleep, bring everything they got, play crisp, play smart, play sound, and get both offense and defense. And you just don't know if that's going to happen for Pittsburgh because they're so unpredictable in that way. Paul's in East Tennessee listening to 640 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Paul? Good morning.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
I'm going well. What's going on?
Good. First off, go Vols. It's been a pretty rough couple hours here for Tennessee fans. You know, my question at this point is, you know, the national media has been pretty pretty down on the Vols fans at this point for the way that they've handled the Schiano thing. First off, you know, I think a lot of people got to realize that there was a lot more than just the fans. There was a lot of legislators in Tennessee, higher up people in Tennessee that just really didn't approve of this hire, mainly because of Schiano's past. True or not, I don't think you can walk into a recruit's house and expect them to not ask that question. You know,
yeah, but how
do they go back and look at the
history
of this
coach? But how is
Penn
State recruiting? How is James Franklin recruiting?
None of those people are there anymore.
Yeah, but the program still exists. I mean, you think that a recruit, you don't think the negative recruiting could be held against Penn State every single time?
Yeah, I think it could, unless you can go in and say, listen, we've vetted these people. This program is not the program that was here when Sandusky was here, when all these people were involved. This is gone. We can show you this. You know, you bring somebody in like that, regardless of their coaching history, they could be the best coach in the world. If a parent has to sit down and look at you in the eye and say, "Do I trust you or not?" Do they trust them? I can't answer that question, obviously. You know, but beyond that, I think you said a few minutes ago, Kevin Sumlin was 30 games above 500 at A&M.
Yeah.
What's Schiano's record? One game above 500.
He's basically a 500 coach. Yep.
So how is that, you know, above and beyond, if you can even look past all the stuff with Penn State issues, how is that a good hire for Tennessee? And as a fan, I think that's what people are looking at. We're just so tired, so emotionally tired of being so invested in a program that goes after a coach that's one game above 500, regardless of the rest of his stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of things out there. The main issue that I wanted to bring up was that, you know, all this stuff is not just fans. This is people outside of just the fan base of Tennessee as well that are really not for that hire. At this point, now where do we go?
Yeah, I feel you, Paul, and those are all totally fair points. And so let me kind of pick through that a little bit because there's a lot there to unpack. I said before, I don't think losing Greg Schiano is losing the next Urban Meyer or the next Nick Saban or the next Kirby Smart or the next Chip Kelly. So this is not about, oh my goodness, you had this great coach in your grasp and you let him go. I wouldn't hold Greg Schiano's record against him because of this. Greg Schiano took over the biggest dumpster fire in all of college football. You have to realize where Rutgers was. Rutgers was basically a non-program. Rutgers was a one or two win a year season type of program. Rutgers is Kansas, or Rutgers was Kansas. So a guy that takes Kansas, or in this case Rutgers, to five straight bowl games, the record's not necessarily all that important because Schiano went 2-9, 1-11, 5-7, 4-7 his first 4 years there, just trying to build the program into respectability. And then won 7, 8, 9, or 11 games every year after that, basically. So kind of scrap the record thing. I think it's a totally fair point. If Greg Schiano has even a sniff of Penn State on him, it might open up the door for negative recruiting. Certainly could open up the door for parents not to trust Schiano. Totally get that. That is totally valid. But it's kind of hard for me to buy that there's all these kids and all these families that simply don't trust Penn State when Penn State has great recruiting classes every year now under James Franklin. I mean, if there was a real stigma around that, wouldn't that still be hovering around Penn State? It doesn't seem to be doing so in terms of the recruiting. But even beyond that, the most important point that Paul brought up is the football part of it. And fans wanted better than Greg Schiano. And I think that's the issue here. That Greg Schiano didn't inspire anybody. Greg Schiano is kind of known as a hard ass, difficult to work with, not very congenial, not very happy-go-lucky. And fans wanted something to be happy in. And so the fact is that Greg Schiano is not a good enough coach for them to overlook maybe some of the skeletons in his closet. Who knows? They might not even be skeletons. There is no evidence there is skeletons. There is only one man at a deposition that said he heard from somebody else that maybe it was Schiano that knew. So I think the fact of the matter is this. It's not just fans. It's administrators. It's boosters. It's legislators that were unhappy with this hire. And I think at the end of the day, they were unhappy with it because of a football thing. Not really the Penn State thing. That was an easy thing to rally behind. It was a football thing. And it's no great loss in my mind. The loss is from the credibility of the administration to hire the right guy and know what the fans feel like. Either you hire a guy that you feel is the right guy, or you know what the fans feel like because you've got to do your research, your market testing. And they blew both of those things. They didn't have the conviction to keep with the guy, and they had no idea what the fans were feeling. I mean, how do you go 0-2 on that? When we come back, cut lines, stories that did not make the cut. Plus, epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Well, here's the deal, DA. Back in the day, I was kind of a living legend in the rent-to-own industry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That one gets me every time. I have no idea what that means. I was a living legend in the rent-to-own industry. So if you were looking to rent a sofa to own it, this guy was a living legend in renting it to you. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Bobby tweeting in, DA, always great to hear our 640 WXSM listeners in Tennessee on with you. Our last caller, Paul, indeed. We've got so many good listeners in Tennessee, and so we talk a lot of Vols around here, and that's why we talked a lot today about the Schiano thing, but this is also a big national story. And now I'm very intrigued, where do the Vols go from here? There is an urgency to get this thing right. There is an urgency to turn the corner. There's an urgency because the window to win the East may have closed because now Georgia looks like a power team for years to come. So who's going to step in there and go toe-to-toe? That's a good job. Tennessee is a good job, but it is a demanding job. Senor Pantleg, one of our favorite tweeters, tweeting in, DA, is Line Dancer magazine still around, or is it strictly an internet publication?
Puffiness with sodium.
I'd love to read more Line Dancer magazine, which named the Electric Slide the number one choreographed dance in the world. Also, what is it competing with? What's the final four in that list? Steve-O tweeting in, DA, the Steelers don't play with any heart. They have the best talent, but they could lose to anyone. I guess when they play good teams, they play with heart. But when they play bad teams, they certainly do not. And it comes to our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. When it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need to keep your vehicle in fighting shape. For the cold weather ahead, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Submit your question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Our question comes to us from Mike, who tweets, D.A., why do you think the Steelers constantly play down to the competition? Is it on Tomlin not having them ready from the start? I think it's a leadership thing. And yes, a lot of that is Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin has a penchant for getting really up for really big games because he's an emotional guy. He's not a steady guy. He's not like Belichick. He's not monotone, down the middle, never know whether you win or you lose. Very emotional. And so when do you become emotional? Think about this. If you were an emotional person, when are you emotional? You are emotional during big events. You are emotional a couple of times a week. You're emotional around a game, around a big event, around a celebration. If something bad happens to you, you get emotional. But then you can't stay at that level all the time. So on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're really low. If nothing's going on, you dip. And I think that's what Mike Tomlin brings to the table. Hey, he's been good enough to win two Super Bowls and get to a third. And this year, he's basically got to win one game to do it a fourth time. He's got to win one game. He's got to beat the Patriots. Either there or in his house to get to a fourth Super Bowl. That's it. Hard to argue with those results, but I think that's a big part of it. I also think Roethlisberger is high maintenance in this way that he creates his own drama that can affect people in the clubhouse, in the locker room. They've got drama guys like AB, and I think it just kind of all sifts into it and is part of why great teams, great games, they get up. Bad teams, like last night, they got a hard time getting out of their own way. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Patriots beat the Dolphins yesterday, as expected, but lose one of their most important special teams players for the season. According to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, Nate Ebner will not return this season, suffering a knee injury on a fake punt. Now, if you watch yesterday's game, don't think the Patriots needed the fake punt to beat the Dolphins. So that could be a risk that was unneeded and an injury that was unnecessary for the Pats. Either way, they've lost a couple of players, significant players to injury. Obviously, Edelman before the season, Hightower been banged up. Now Ebner. We'll see if the Patriots show any effects. Right now, it's hard to say that they are, but you would have to imagine at some point in time, these injuries can catch up to them.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Is Jason Garrett losing the locker room? Cowboys players are reportedly frustrated. Again, Ian Rappaport saying that the Cowboys are growing frustrated about the team's lack of adjustments and overly simple game plan. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I think Jason Garrett's not going to get fired because he is in bed with Jerry. The Jones family loves Jason Garrett. They know that they can push him around, specifically Jerry. I think that's important to know that you have the final say over your coach. This is why Jerry clashed with Jimmy Johnson. It's why he clashed with Bill Parcells. He wants a guy he can run over, and Jason Garrett provides that. But Jason Garrett, it's not surprising they're not making adjustments. It's not surprising players are frustrated by an overly simple game plan. He's an overly simple coach. He's not that good. He's an average coach, an average game planner, and you're seeing when he's suffering injuries just how bad the Cowboys can get.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that's your cut line. Daniel tweeting in, D.A., you want to check out Crazy Fans, check out Vol's Twitter. Getting coaches fired the same day the hiring is announced, and I'm proud to say that I am part of Vol Nation. The streets are hot in Knoxville. Let's put it that way. Streets are hot. Let's see who is going to try to tame the tiger. Who is going to walk in there to take that job? Because it is not an easy job. That's for certain. And now the administration has egg on its face. So who's going to trust the administration? BB tweets, DA, the Vikings have dismantled two of the three teams you were talking about in the NFC and play the Falcons next week. That defense ground game and Case Keenum can slow the Eagles down and keep Carson off the field like they did to Jared Goff and Drew Brees. Hashtag Skull. Vikings are very good, and I'm believing in Case Keenum more and more. And the more you watch the Vikings, the more you realize they can't go to Teddy Bridgewater. They've got something cooking right now. Mike Zimmer, you cannot go to Bridgewater. It's too late in the year. Unless Case Keenum gets injured or he has two or three really bad games in a row, but that kind of brings us to the end of the season almost, I don't think you can make a change. Case has been very good. NASCAR Brian, Cowboys fan, tweeting in, someone has to be held accountable, DA, for the second half implosions the Cowboys have committed. You must make adjustments. Yeah, it ain't going to happen, though. Jason Garrett feels like he's got a lifetime contract there. What would it take? I mean, the guy in 7 years has been to the playoffs twice. And one of those times, he should have lost both of those games because the first time was the phantom flag against the Lions. They were dead to rights. Mike tweeting in, is there a bigger indictment of Jeff Fisher than the seasons that Keenum and Goff are having? No. If you ever needed evidence that Jeff Fisher will take a good quarterback and drive him into the ground and then kick snow and leaves and sticks on top of him, this year's Goff and Keenum are prime examples. Like, how many other good quarterbacks wilted away and died under Jeff Fisher's watch simply because he had no idea what to do with them? Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And we did a little musical lesson today. Is Boogie Oogie Oogie a disco song or the electric slide?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It has been brought to my attention that Boogie Oogie Oogie, as Mraz cited the electric slide, is actually in the electric slide song.
Yeah, you can do it. It's electric. Boogie Oogie Oogie Oogie.
And I was thinking about the disco song. Get down. Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Get on up on the floor. Cause we're gonna boogie Oogie Oogie. Cause you just can't boogie no more. Boogie no more. You can boogie no more.
So I guess we have two songs, Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Everybody was Boogie Oogie and Oogie, and I bet you there could be more Boogie Oogie Oogies.
Yeah.
When did group dancing become a thing?
I guess line dancing's always been a thing.
Right, but now we got a lot of these. You got the electric, the cha-cha, the YMCA, the Macarena.
Macarena.
Macarena was a biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always grew up with, like, this was a thing, and I just assumed it was forever.
Keep it or dump it, bro.
No, I think the electric slide, we have to...
Ooh, shocking. Oh, who wants to go Bubba's in a car?
The electric slide created the dance created by choreographer Richard Rick Silver in 1976. So about the same time.
I don't think that's true.
Whoa.
About the same time. So
and,
wow.
And the Eagles are choreographing this dance, not the original Boogie Oogie Oogie.
So what is the tiebreaker there? We're going to figure this out. What came first, the electric slide or Boogie Oogie Oogie?
Having a heat wave, a tropical heat.
I would say the electric slide's more famous, too.
Yeah, I would say so. It doesn't give the Eagles carte blanche, though, or free reign. I mean, that was still pretty corny.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I remember doing the electric slide at my 7th grade dance, and I was like, this is so corny. Why am I doing this? Oh, right, because girls are doing it. I'm trying to talk to girls. It's still corny, and the Eagles just broke it out yesterday during a football game.
Was that the year you took a girl to the dance that had a tail?
So are we going to talk about your shows the last couple of nights?
I don't think we're allowed to talk about them today. We can get to them midweek.
We will review Mraz's shifts that he had over the Thanksgiving break. We'll also play some of the play-by-play that I had on Saturday for the big FAU Charlotte Tilt Conference USA action.
Boy, are we a self-serving show, huh?
That's either tomorrow or Wednesday. We'll see when we can squeeze those bad boys in. A reminder that you can always watch the show that replays on loop at watchda.com. So check it out there. Maestro Mike tweeting, DA, so did the Eagles call that an electric slide? Because in my circle, that's known as the hustle or the shuffle. Type of dance that you do at a family gathering to multiple different songs. Some songs even add in different moves. Well, these are all wrinkles I can get down with. I think that was a straight electric slide. I think it didn't look like a shuffle, didn't look like a hustle. Looked like a straight electric slide. And, you know, we still have the entire month of December to go. And then do they also dance in the playoffs? I mean, where are we going to go at this point in time? I think we have hit critical mass of the dancing. It needs to be reined in now a little bit. A little bit. That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. And the Catman, Andrew Kaplan, on the simulcast, pushing all the right buttons at watchda.com. Be good. And be good to one another. Tomorrow is a Trash Tuesday. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
That's very good, Damon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.